Welcome, everyone. We've got to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shir number 155. And today we're going to talk about legitimate needs versus illegitimate wants. The culture sends the message, go out and get what you want from life. Make the most of life. Squeeze out of life whatever you can, whatever you could get from it. That message is given to us subtly and not so subtly every single day of our lives, and including in our relationships. When we want relationships, especially the male-female relationships, that is the mindset with many people. I want to get out of it, everything I could get out of it. I want to squeeze it out like a lemon and get as much satisfaction, pleasure, and enjoyment from it. And that is the goal. And when that is the goal, and millions of people have that goal, then millions of relationships are doomed even before they start. Right away at the outset, it's doomed. It's get what you want philosophy. It will not work. It will not work. It will not give birth to any significant relationship between two people. It will not sustain even a short-term, certainly not a long-term, satisfying relationship between two people, especially between a husband and a wife. That will only give birth to selfish fulfillment of one person's desires at the expense of the other person's real and legitimate needs. All genuine relationships are based on giving and receiving in a healthy way. That's why we gave these counterintuitive shiurim that giving, as beautiful as it sounds, especially us regular people, is not healthy either. There needs to be some healthy type of receiving and real needs, legitimate needs that to be expressed. True. But it is based on giving and receiving. So the idea that you will never take pleasure from another person is not realistic either. But you do not take pleasure at the other person's expense. That's what it means. You can receive pleasure from the other person, but never receive that pleasure or any type of selfish fulfillment at the other person's expense. Our culture celebrates that ruthless selfishness. It became the way people conduct themselves when they look to relationships. And that is a terribly flawed way of looking at relationships. Of course, you could seek personal fulfillment. Frankly, if part of the motivation of getting married is you want to enjoy physical sexual intimacy, and that's a part of the equation, it's okay that it's part of the equation. That's not what we're talking about here. It's a legitimate need. It is a legitimate need in human beings to have that yearning for that. But again, not at the other person's expense. Only when it's a mutually respectful connection that way. Not because it's a momentary pleasure that you want. And people confuse that personal fulfillment with simply mere satisfaction of momentary pleasures. You know, if you go, it's okay to want to go into marriage, and part of it is to enjoy sex, frankly. But the idea that it's there because anytime you want it or need it in that relationship, you could get it whenever you want. And the whole purpose of it is that satisfaction of those momentary pleasures. That's where it's poison. It's a bond between two people. And this is the problem, what we have. We have to learn how to change that shift of focus. To change our focus from the pursuit of illegitimate wants to legitimate needs. Very few people today focus on legitimate needs. Most people focus on the pursuit of their illegitimate wants. They tell themselves, if I get enough of what I want, I'll be happy, I'll be fulfilled, I'll be satisfied. But you can never get enough of what you don't really need. And Mishiyesh Loi Mona Ratza Masayim. It's just the way it is. But if your mindset is getting what I want, then when you get into the relationship, you start playing mind games with each other, a tug of war between my wants and the wants of my wife or husband. And once you start that game, very hard to stop. Then you'll start using emotional manipulation, emotional blackmail, all these other psychological devices that get in our way that we spoke about when we talked about the books of John Gottman, which we really have to get back to because they're so basic. It's basically a war of conflicting egos with one another. But relationships are not about getting what you want. It's about helping each other become the best versions of ourselves. That is the idea. Helping each other become the best versions of ourselves. So our illegitimate wants have very little to do that. But our needs, that's very important. And we have to make decisions about our relationship for coming to that. When we choose our illegitimate wants, that is its death certificate to the relationship. It'll last a year, it'll last 2 years, maybe the last 10 years, it will not thrive. But if you're willing to set aside your individual desires and give desires to your real, true, legitimate needs and the legitimate needs of the one you love, your husband or wife, then you will have a very strong marriage. Most of our desires are selfish or driven by ego. Legitimate needs are not. And when we shift our relationship to that deeper aspects mutually, that's when love will thrive. Love is not just a emotion that just is out of control. No. It is a process, a healthy process. It's a desire to see the person we love be everything they are capable of being and capable of becoming. Love is a willingness to lay down our personal plans, our personal desires, and our agendas for the best of the relationship. Love is a delayed gratification. Love is about delaying pleasure. But it's about pleasure. Yes, there's a lot of pleasure there. And there's a lot of pain there. It goes hand in hand. And a couple learns how to deal with both the pain and the pleasure in the right way. You know another person loves you when he or she is willing to subordinate and give over his or her personal plans for the good of the relationship, to give up their desires for the good of the relationship, to give up their agenda for the good of the relationship. At times, you must be willing to give up your wants so that your husband or wife's needs be fulfilled. And sometimes there are times in a marriage where, yes, you even are required to forgo your real needs, your legitimate needs, so that your husband or wife's needs can be met. And the question is if you are willing to do that. Are you willing to put in some suffering for love? This does not mean being a shmata. I'm going to reiterate this again and again. We're talking about a couple that is normal. There's no abuse, there's no control. It's just that they're both flawed human beings. They're human beings that make mistakes. So we're not talking about controlling each other or any type of crazy thing like that. So we're not talking, when I say the word suffer for love, that doesn't mean you suffer chas v'shalom, physical abuse or verbal abuse or emotional abuse. No. But as two human beings, you do suffer for love when you're different people and you're giving up a need that you have in order to help that other person get to what they need. Are you prepared to do that? If you're prepared to do that, you will have a truly amazing relationship. And when you let go of all your whims and all your cravings and all your fancies, and you pursue something more basic and mundane just for the sake of your husband and wife, that is godless. And ultimately, it is the most rewarding. It is not easy. There's a lot of rewards at the end of this journey, but the journey could be hard, could be difficult. But if you're not willing to pay that price, then you're drinking bottled water instead of spring water, right? Intimacy is like spring water. It flows. It's fresh. It's beautiful. But you have to work to get there. And that is very, very important. So we have to understand the language of needs. People have a hard time working out what their legitimate needs actually are. And if they can't figure out what their own legitimate needs are, they have trouble understanding what are the needs of their husband or wife. And to understand this, we need to learn the language of the needs, of one's own needs and partner's needs. You know why it's hard to know? Because people don't say what they want. People don't always say how they feel. People don't say what they need. That is basically an illness in sexuality between a husband and wife. They don't express what they need or what they want in that area. So it remains like a blind area, a blind spot, under the guise of quote-unquote sneers. So they don't know what each other wants, and it leads to a lot of resentment and confusion and even anger. Because we don't know. We're reacting in defensive mode when we see something as a form of a rejection because we just don't understand and we never studied the subject and never talked about these things together. So the idea is to understand these legitimate needs gives you the ability to act instead of react. You know now what you need to do or what you need to express. And that becomes very, very clear. And that transforms the relationship into an extremely beautiful one. So here's an example that he brings. This is from The Seven Levels of Intimacy by Matthew Kelly, of an example of not understanding each other's needs because of a lack of communication in this case. Husband, she gives an example, has a very hard day. His boss gave him a hard time. And the husband was saying to himself all day long, I can't wait to get home, eat a good meal, and just relax with a basketball game or spending a little time talking to my wife, chilling out. He comes home, and his wife announces, tonight we're going to finalize the guest list of their daughter's wedding that's upcoming. Husband immediately becomes uncooperative and resentful and moody. The wife thinks that the reason he's so moody is because he's not in the mood of doing the invitation list. But it really has very little to do with that. If the husband would simply have communicated what he needs and says to her, his wife, listen, you know, I know we have to do the invitations, but tonight's not the night for it. I had a very stressful day. I just need to enjoy a quiet meal with you and relax. And if he would have conveyed that need to his wife would have been aware of it. And unless the wedding was, there was an extreme deadline, it could wait another night, and the wife would have waited another night. But because he didn't communicate that, she had no idea what it was all about. She had no idea. How would she have an idea that he had a very tough day in the office if the husband didn't tell her this? Here's where communication could solve so much because you're expressing a need. And the wife hears this, and she will accommodate. All she needed to hear from her husband is that very thing. I had a stressful day. I just need to chill. I just need time to relax tonight because it was an exceptionally hard day because this and this happened. And the wife would have most of the time just simply said, sure, no problem. You know, he may have been to a point where he relaxes a little bit. He may say on his own later, okay, I'm feeling a little better. Let's talk a little. Let's do 10 minutes of this invitation list. Could be. Or the other way around, she had a hard time. She was walking the dog, and she had an argument with a friend, and she got upset at her friend, and she went to talk over what was bothering her about the argument with her friend to her husband. But the husband won't know this. What he needs to hear from her, she tells him, her husband, I just need to sit and talk when you get home. I don't have the energy tonight to cook dinner. I'm upset about something. Husband hears this. No problem. Okay, we'll get a drink. We'll talk. Maybe I'll cook something, or maybe we'll order food from the outside. Because he knows. These are examples of needs that come from circumstances where the healthy communication of it could solve so many problems. So we have to both understand the legitimate needs versus the illegitimate wants, which is the plague of our country here, and also to learn the language of needs. We'll talk more about this Bezras Hashem in the upcoming Shir. Bracha and Hatzlacha.